Blog Talk Radio.
Always look up, never give up, and you will reach your goals. You're important, you're more than enough. And here she is, your host for Rolling with the Diva, Sabrina Williams. Thank you.
Happy Wednesday. It is September 19th, 2017. It is a wonderful today. It's a wonderful day, wonderful. Today we have with us Shay Whitley. I'll have to make sure I pronounce her name right. She is a radio host from Where? What's the Deal? She is a very awesome young lady. She speaks her mind. And we're going to talk today about just how you got into radio and a whole bunch of other topics. But before that, I want to welcome Shaya to the show. Hello, Shaya. I don't know if she can hear me. And maybe she cannot because I may not have the... Hold on a second. Let me pick off that. Can you hear me, Shaya? Well, I'm not for sure if she can hear me, so let me see. Hold on. We're going to play a song, and then we'll be right back.
And when the sun don't shine,
Sabrina Williams, and I'm your host. And on the line, we have Shay Whitley. Shay, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can. Okay, I just thought it was something
okay,
with
great.
My phone. I was going to be sad.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was a bad connection on my end or what.
No, no problem. But welcome to Rolling with the Diva. Am I pronouncing your name right?
Yeah, it's Shay Whitley.
Shay Whitley. Well, welcome. And
yes.
You know what?
Thank you.
We're a little bit behind. We're going to go ahead and have you introduce yourself, tell everybody where you're calling from, and about your radio show.
Awesome. Okay, well, a little bit about me. I am calling from Atlanta, Georgia, and I am the host of a show called What's the Deal? What's the Deal? It actually airs every Wednesday and Thursday at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And What's the Deal? I was actually given the idea by God. I was asking him to give me a project, give me something to do that deals with people and some of my gifts. And so he blessed me with the idea of What's the Deal. And the show is basically designed to inspire and encourage people from all over, and just to let people know that no matter what you're going through, you are not by yourself. So I pretty much have relatable topics that I discuss. I'll either be by myself or I will be involved with interviewers who are on the show and are discussing their testimonies and their journeys and how they have come to where they are in life through all of their trials and tribulations.
So what has been your favorite show that you've done?
Oh, wow, my favorite show. I don't think I have a favorite because each one actually brings so much light into people's lives. I've had the chance to interview so many different people with so many different personalities and walks of life. It's kind of hard to say which one is my favorite, actually. I don't think I have a favorite. I love them all.
Okay. And what's your biggest inspiration, and who do you have a lot of respect for?
What inspires me is knowing that I have the ability to help free people through my testimony. And that is what inspires me. People who tell me, you know what, you've helped me. You've given me understanding on this. Thank you. You know, I get a lot of inboxes and stuff from people telling me, thank you for doing the show. You've really helped me. I appreciate you. And so I have a lot of support. That is what inspires me to keep going. People that I have or someone that I have a lot of respect for, it's kind of hard to narrow that down because my circle is full of my most respected people. God first, of course. I mean, I have a great set of apostles at the church that I go to, a great support system. I have, some colleagues that I'm linked to and network with through social media and business. So it's kind of hard to say or pinpoint one person that I have a lot of respect for because I have a lot of respect for the circle and that I'm involved with. Everybody that's in my personal circle and my family, I love to life.
All right. That's awesome. Thank you. That's a good way to say it. So what do you think as radio hosts that our responsibility is for people who are suffering with mental health or with speaking out on certain issues such as 50% of African-American males are killed by their own people and such topics?
Good question. As a radio host, I think that it is our, and just media, period. If you are in media, whether it's TV or radio related, I think that our duty is to inform people of their resources around them. Like, for instance, you know, my show, like, I've seen some people who do podcasts and different shows, and they actually will give out the telephone numbers and the numbers to different facilities in their area for those who may be struggling with mental illness and so forth. But as a radio host or talk show host, in my case, I feel like it's very important in terms of mental illness. I think that it's important that we express that there are feelings and emotions that people do not discuss or talk about. And there are things that people do in their lives that they hold secret, or they feel like if I share this with somebody, I'm going to be judged, I'm going to be condemned, because my show is Christian-based. And so my whole thing is put it out there. Find somebody that you can trust, a church, you know, a church home if need be, a colleague if need be. Find someone that you can trust and talk to. My biggest thing is know Jesus, you know, because even when you don't have that person to talk to, he's always available. He's always available. He's always listening. And he wants you to come to him with all of your issues and problems. People have so many problems and stuff that they conceal and they don't hide. I think one of the number one solutions is just to talk about it, face it, and don't run from it. Talk about it, and then get the help that you need. I think that that's one of the solutions that people truly need to embrace.
Well, do you think, and this is just my opinion, but it's the mm-hmm. question is, do you think that sometimes churches don't make do enough messages and make people open to know that they can come talk to the church about their mental illness or domestic violence or anything else?
Yes and no. I look at the church as being a hospital for mental, physical, you know, any type of illness, ailment or whatever. Maybe you're just, maybe your spirit needs to be lifted. You know, the church is basically like a hospital. So to me, in defining a church, I look at it, hey, if I got an issue, you know, I should be able to connect with Jesus in this facility and be able to fellowship with some like-minded people. Do churches need to put out there or broadcast that, hey, you know, we accept? I'm not sure how they would need to improve getting that out, because, like I said, my whole take on church is basically this is a place where I can meet Jesus, and wherever he is, there's going to be healing, there's going to be deliverance. But I do feel like sometimes that the church can be so wrapped up sometimes, and depending on the type of church, you can go and you can get a message, but still yet there are things that are not being discussed within those messages. I feel like churches, the ones that aren't set up, that have to have auxiliaries and counseling or something where these people on the outside can actually come and be a part of and talk to a women's group, a men's group, they need to be able to connect with people in the church, you know, on a one-on-one. Because there are people, yes, that's truly dealing with all types of issues that just need a one-on-one to go, hey, look, I'm going through. Do you have the answers? Can you steer me? What did you do in this situation to get back on track? And so I think that, yes, churches definitely need to be able to provide that for not only the members but people who are looking for a church home. Yeah, people need help. They need help and they need resources.
Right, exactly. And speaking of resources, in 211 in any of the states of the United States, 1311 is in Romania. That's a long story. I'll tell you guys that later why I would know that you can dial that in Romania for emergencies or for help. And 211, what it does is it offers you resources to get information for whether it's low-cost counseling or maybe a counseling that you take on your own that you don't want anybody else, maybe you don't want your work to know about, things like that. or maybe for domestic violence shelters for men and women, because at this rate right now, 35% of the male population are abused by men and women, and that's a big number. Mm-hmm. So there is no shaming the male. There's also, they can offer you information if you need a needing of a food bank, whether it's a church that gives the food or whether there's a Salvation Army, the Goodwill, so on. Or, you know, or if you're in need of shelter, I know if you're here in Las Vegas, we have different resources and housing based on income that women, I think the programs are more set up for women sometimes than they are men, but 211 in any of the states of the United States, you can dial for those resources. Again, if you're not for sure, you can always shoot me an email at cvwtdiva@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to look up resources in your state. I personally believe that churches need to do a better job of with mental health. I've heard both sides of, there's great churches out there. I know that Bishop Foreman in Colorado, a church over, I think it's 12,000 people or more, has a great program with focus on mental health. I think that, and I've heard programs where churches will tell people that they need to be healed because mental illness is a sin. So I think the community and the churches themselves need to come together with that, because it's not going away. You can look at some of the things that are going on right now in society with kids killing kids, or, you know, husbands killing their kids and hiding them in oil barrels. That was a case in Florida. That's still going on. So mental illness, and sometimes the happy faces that people put on are not those. So the one point that you brought up was really good about, you know, really talking to somebody, saying, hey, I need somebody to talk to, and starting the conversation out like that. But the churches can't do everything. It also requires the community to also step up, too. We can't just put that burden on the churches either.
Right. Absolutely. I do agree. I agree 100%. I think people need to be more – aware of mental illness and that it is a thing. You know, it's not about – I think a lot of people hear about mental illness when they're watching the news. And they see how a person has snapped, and they hear about the things that people have done, you know, that will qualify them to obviously be mentally ill. But mentally, there are so many levels of being mentally ill. And a lot of times, I won't say in all cases, but in a lot of cases, it's dealing with things that people don't heal from. They've been through traumatic situations, and they try to handle things by themselves, and it comes to a point, you know, where a person can snap, and at that point, that's when you hear about, you know, such and such killed somebody and such, they started, it's gotten to the point, it's gotten to that extent, but before, you know, like if anybody is listening that has mental illnesses, there are resources out there. I'm glad that you mentioned 211. There are definitely resources available to you. And I think that people need to just be aware of the resources that are at hand and take advantage of them. You know, if it's something that you struggle with on a personal level, like I said, just come to grips with it and get the help while you're where you're at, so that you don't get yourself in a situation to be on the news, you know, or in jail. Definitely. But everybody, yes, I think people need to be more aware of this being, you know, a thing and come together, you know.
And I like that. That's exactly right. And in Psalm 139, verse 16, we're reminded that you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God is not, and this is, that was the end of that verse. God's not surprised by our suffering, and he wants to use all of us regardless of our afflictions. So with that, we're going to talk about full realizing that, and I love this term, and I use this on almost everything I write, everything I talk about, and all the people that I work with, whether it was when I was working for the county as a child protective service worker or doing just private work in the private sector industry, is you're more than enough. You're more than enough. If you have to believe that, there's a thing that they say that, well, seven is a number of completion in the Bible. But
yeah.
every day, I suggest to people that they stand in the mirror, you look at yourself, and you say more than that I'm more than enough. Or you can think of your own term. I'm important. I'm special. I'm talented.
Yes.
It could be focused on your gift. But also, you need to do that for 30 days because studies have shown, and I'm really into statistics, is that studies have shown
okay.
that somebody does something for 30 days or says
mm-hmm.
something to themselves and continue for 30 days, it becomes a part of you. One of the
yes.
best things that Ms. Whitley said was that, you know what, you have to, like, rely on God. One of the things I tell everybody,
yes.
whether you rely on Jesus Christ, which is Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship
uh-uh.
with God, or you have
yes, the
a
lifestyle.
Are you just a person who has a higher power and you believe in a religious
right.
That's you need that. You cannot depend on yourself just because at
uh-huh.
the end of the day, if you're depending on yourself, it's just hard. So giving that up to Jesus or giving it up to a higher power is something you need, and I suggest that for everybody. What do you
yes.
have to say, what do you think about that?
I absolutely agree. I put, you know, God first in everything because I've seen him heal. Like, I know people that's been healed of ailments, and they've got great testimonies. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I say put God first because he knows what we're struggling with. You know, like I said, if we don't have anyone that we can pour into at the moment, know that Jesus is always available, and he is faithful, and he to him and tell him your struggle so that he can show himself approved in your life. So I believe, you know, I've been through situations myself where I needed healing, and it may not have been from a mental ailment, but I've been in low places. I've been through depression. I know what that feels like. It's not something that I deal with on a daily basis, but I've been in some low points. And I know for a fact that when I call out to Jesus and I begin to line my life up with him, that he will give me a sound mind, you know. And so I know for a fact, not only through my testimony, but others as well, you know, when you come to Jesus with a sincere heart and you cry out, he is right there and he will show up. You know, everything doesn't happen in form of a miracle where it happens like right then and there. If that's his will, he will operate, you know, in that way. But sometimes things are a process and it may take a while. You know, you may need to heal from some things in your life or take a step back and do some self-evaluation. And let, you know, life unfold. And as you heal, you'll see, you know, some differences in the way that you think or maybe the choices that you make. It's very important that we line ourselves up with Jesus because if we don't, we are under open attack. The enemy is always looking for an opportunity to grab us or to attack us. So we have to make sure on our end that we do our part to allow him to cover us, and that we do that by having a relationship. And I agree with what you said as far as Christianity. People take Christianity so lightly now. It's a pet peeve of mine. It's like, oh, I'm a Christian. It's like, well, what does that mean? Because Christianity
mm-hmm.
It's not just I believe in God. Like, you know, there are Satanists that believe that there's a God. They just don't worship him. I mean, the devil knows that God exists. You know what I'm saying? So it's
right.
more than knowing that there is a God. Are you following him? Is he your shepherd for real? This is a lifestyle. It's not something that you tap into on Sunday for church service or Bible study. This is a relationship every day, every minute, every second, every hour. You are living for him and asking him to guide and lead your footsteps in all that you do. So Christianity is a lot deeper than, man, just knowing that there's a God and praying to him every now and again. Yes, I agree. I agree 100%.
And I thank you. That's awesome. So tell us what I love this question. It's just a funny question. What is your favorite, if you were an animal, what would you be?
Oh, wow.
And why?
If I was an animal, I'm going to say an eagle. I don't know if that
okay.
really qualifies as an animal. I'm going to say I'm going to choose a bird, and then I'm going to say an eagle because they are known to soar above.
Okay.
And that is something that I admire, and that's something that I try to practice in my walk every day, you know, just trying to soar above every trial, every tribulation, you know, all the distractions I tell myself I have to overcome. So if I had to be an animal, it would definitely be a bird, and the type of bird would definitely be an eagle, definitely.
And now if I was an animal, I would be a wolf because I can run in packs when I need to, but when I need to be on my own, I can't. And I can function very highly by myself, and I'm just a natural born leader. I don't need anybody to lead
that?
Me
mm-hmm.
or
right.
tell me anything, mm-hmm. and I don't like to follow groups, so I would be a wolf. I would have to actually
okay.
say that. That would be mine.
Interesting.
Now, hold on a second. What
no problem.
Why is your radio show unique versus someone else's?
I think that what makes my show unique is that I have such relatable topics. A lot of people, there are some really, really cool radio shows out there. I won't say that I have the best one. I won't put myself on a pedestal. But just from what I have seen, there are some shows that I feel like people put together because maybe they're looking for views. Maybe they're looking for attention. Maybe they want to be seen. My show in particular, I have, you know, I'm not like, let me put this topic together because and see how many likes I can get. Like, I literally ask God to give me topics. I never choose a topic on my own. I ask him, you know, what is it that you want me to talk about? When the ideas get to flowing, the questions, because I'm an interviewer, the questions will begin to go. Sometimes he will send me the people. They will reach out to me. And sometimes, depending on the topic, he'll show me what person to reach out to. And it's always funny because if I have a topic at hand at first, he'll send me to a person. And I may not even know their testimony, but by the time I talk to that person, I'll go, ah, okay, now I get why you chose this person for this topic. So my show is unique in the fact that it is definitely inspired by God. And the topics are always geared to helping people. I'm not looking at the likes. Now, we all, as talk show hosts and radio hosts, we definitely want people to be drawn to our project. But that's not my main focus. And I feel like as long as people are, you know, when people tell me you or great topic, I loved it. It helped me a lot. Like, I love that because that lets me know that I'm effective in what I'm doing. So I think that's what makes my show unique.
Okay. Now, what's your favorite book that you're reading right now or have read in the past month or so?
Honestly, in the past month, within the last month, I have not been in a book other than the Bible. So
right.
I'm going to say that's my
book.
Favorite
what's
book.
What's your favorite book in the Bible?
My favorite book is Psalms because I love prayer. That's what
okay.
I do. I'm a prayer warrior. And I love to go in there and read the prayer. There's a lot of things in there that I can truly connect to in Psalms. And so I think that's my favorite book. Yeah, I want to say Psalms. Yes,
nice.
I've read some really interesting books. But I have to say the Bible, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a follower of Jesus, but the reason is because it's a lot of information in the Bible. And it talks about so many different things. But it also brings life to me. You know, I've read books that I connected to, but the Bible, it gives me life. It gives me strength. It gives me understanding and wisdom. These are facts that I can apply and principles that I can apply to my life and actually, you know, overcome and be successful and see change in my life. And so I have to say that the Bible is my favorite. Yes.
And you know what? That's something to be proud of. And you know what?
Absolutely.
Your favorite. It's a book. It's 66 books in the Bible, and
uh-huh.
I love it, and I'm impressed with it. This is from Psalm 119, 1-8, and we all know that's a Psalm of David that he
uh-huh.
wrote to the Lord, and it starts with, "Blessed are those that are undefiled in the way and walk in the law of the Lord." This one's a little different sounding because it's from the Church of England, their way that they wrote, and a lot of the ways they preface theirs on the King James Version. "Blessed are those that keep his testimonies and seek him with their whole heart." And with that, I hope that you guys, as you were listening today, that you heard Ms. Whitley with her compassion and her understanding that, you know what, her biggest goal in life is to help people from what I'm hearing to really know God. And you guys should
yeah.
take the time out to listen to her show. And so tell us again what's the times that it comes on?
Sure. Thank you so much. What's the deal? It airs every Wednesday and every Thursday at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. The streams normally last about typically around an hour. It just depends on how the conversations flow. So you guys, yes, please check it out. I have some amazing topics and some amazing guests with some amazing testimonies, success stories, and you just have to watch it. It's very interesting. Also, if you have any testimonies or would like to be a guest after checking out my show, feel free to inbox me so that we can connect. Absolutely.
Now, I'm going to ask you just two more questions. What?
Okay.
I've looked at a lot of your pictures, and I always try to remember to ask women, what is your beauty secret? Because your skin is amazing. I love your eyeshadow.
Oh,
so I want to know what's your secret on your eyeshadow. How do you get it to stay looking like that all day? Like, seriously.
Okay. I have to be honest. My palettes, y'all, are very basic. Like, I'm not into, you know, the Fendi's and the – I'm nowhere near a makeup artist. And I'm into a little bit of makeup when I'm going somewhere. I'm not in the heat all day. This I can tell you. My makeup, when you guys see me, in the next 3 or 4 hours, I promise you my makeup has changed. I'm not a wear a perfected face all day type of person. So when I take those pictures, or maybe the ones that you've seen, that was me made up for the time that I was doing whatever it was I was doing or going wherever I was. And so my beauty secret, I don't really have a beauty secret. I mean, I learn from watching other people. I mean, there's so many sources now, YouTube and Facebook, and everybody's showing you how to do something, you know, to apply makeup. But I don't really think I have a beauty secret.
You know what? I learned something. I learned this about, I think about 6 months ago. You know, the easiest
uh-huh.
way to remove makeup is, and it's not baby wipes or the makeup wipes. You know what it is?
What
is it? Taking a face cloth and taking either olive oil or baby oil and rubbing the cloth on your face. It takes two times, and you'll remove all the makeup off the face. And it actually, at the same time, it's moisturizing your skin. Then you go, after you've removed the makeup, you go and wash
uh-huh.
your face with whatever that you want. I use Dove. You know, you wash your face, or Ivory. That's what Ivory's
yes.
my favorite. My mom used that. But you just wash your face. It is actually interesting because your face, after you wash it, it is not dry because it just got moisturized by the oil that you put on it. And even people with oily skin can use it. And it's just, and I prefer olive oil. You know, people, I have to admit, my olive oil because I'm a big olive oil person. I go to St. George, Utah,
okay,
to get my olive oil. And my olive oil, like the one I use to remove my makeup, seriously, is infused with grapefruit, okay? So my face sometimes it will smell like grapefruit because I just, you know, so yeah, whatever. But I just, you know, and
that's
it's also, I learned.
And
I also learned from one of my friends, Dr. Linda, is that olive oil will help your hair grow back. So I've been doing that because I suffer from alopecia. So just something I thought I'd like to ask people. Now, the last one is, where do you see yourself in a year or to 5 years? Do you see yourself speaking on engagements? Because you have a beautiful personality and a great voice. What do you see yourself doing?
Thank you so much. In 5 years or even a year from now, I'm actually in school. So I will say in 5 years, I definitely should. I'm in school and I'm taking up human services. I definitely see myself out of school with a degree. Also, I am looking forward to my growth that is coming. And so I definitely, yes, I see myself doing many engagements, speaking to youth. I have a lot of information for women, broken women. Absolutely. I definitely see growth in my show. There's a lot of ideas I have. I don't necessarily want to put them out because I want you guys to see. But I definitely see growth in my What's the Deal show. Definitely. I have a lot. Honestly, I have a lot of ideas that I'm really excited about that I would prefer you guys to just tap into, like, you know, 2 years or so from now and go, okay. You know, they're like surprises. But I am working on a ministry, and it is called, you know what, I got What's the Deal in my head, but it's called Bodies for Christ. It's called Bodies for Christ, and it is something that I started in my church. And I actually started it about a year ago, and I put it under the carpet. I don't think I was quite ready. And so I pulled it back out, and I've got some really cool ideas for it. And it's basically, you know, for those of you who may be involved in ministry, you hear about how we need to work on our soul salvation and work on our personal growth. Well, guess what? Health is actually another issue. And in order to even do what we're called to do or whatever your passion is, we have to have a healthy body. And so Bodies for Christ is a program that involves physical activity. I don't really like the term of workout, you know what I mean, because it just seems so routine and it's almost like a chore. So I like to say physical activity. I'm a fun person. I like to run and do things outdoors. And so I think the program really involves being active and just having fun, you know, and having fun. I mean, running around, we can play sports, you can swim, you can jog and play tennis. It's all types of things that you can do to get physical activity in and to stay healthy. So along with making better choices eating, that's something that I want to implement and encourage people to do, just to get up and be active. We get so caught up in technology now. We don't have to, you know, do too much like we used to. And so it's like, get out the house, do something, go to the park, walk, jog, do something, dance, something. So that's a project that I'm currently working on. Yes.
That's awesome. And I like that because, you know what, just like you don't like the word exercise, I hate when people tell me I'm on a diet. I'm not on a diet.
Yeah.
I'm just, I don't care. My doctor gets annoyed at me when I say I'm not on a diet. If anybody tells me on a diet, I'm on a diet, it freaks me out. Because I'm like, I'm not on a diet. I wasn't born on a diet. Yes, I understand I got a little bit bigger than I should, but I'm not on a diet. I now know how to eat right and how to adjust myself. Thank you. And I hate that word diet. When anybody asks me if I'm on a diet, I just look at them like they're strange. Because, see, the word diet, it'll freak me out to go want to eat, like, a whole bunch of, like, blueberry muffins. So I was like, don't be saying I'm on a diet. I'm not on a diet. And I think it's a mindset. And you're right. And people have gotten away from, because of the, you know, we have those, some people who, like, they have those Fitbit watches and they're walking their 10,000 steps. And then we have the other people who are playing video games and doing all these other things and not. But But we as especially African Americans need to really, mm-hmm. really remember, you know, we suffer, we have the highest rate for diabetes, high blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
we're up there with the Hispanic culture for heart attacks. So we really need to take health our eating really well. And I'm not telling anybody, because people will write me and say, oh, you said I can't eat fried chicken. I never said you couldn't eat fried chicken. I think you better learn a concept for baked chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may want to make your fried chicken your sneak meal once a month, because you can do that. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't
mm-hmm.
realize, that's why I don't like the term dieting. Dieting, you can eat healthy all week or 6-7 days in a row, and then you can have what's called a cheat meal. It actually speeds up your metabolism. So just so people, nobody's saying that, but you can't have a cheat meal every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I just tell people that. But yeah, it's you got to be healthy. But I am so happy that you decided to give me an interview. And everybody should know, we want to thank Tina Hobson for Superwoman Radio for introducing
Absolutely.
Me to Miss Whitley.
Yes.
I would have met her without that. So I am very grateful for that. And I try to support, as well as a lot of the other women and men on radio, try to support each other. And it's really, to me, this is what I think. Because some people are like, you have a radio host on your show? Yeah, because what God has for your show is not what God
mm-hmm.
has for my show. My show is really focused on the nature of people and their mind. Just because of my major, my master's degree and working on my PhD, I'm really focused on the mind, body, and spirit of people, and getting them to understand that without those three in sync, you have nothing. You have nothing.
Yes.
I know you can have God in your life, but you can be the worst eater and not feel good and be on a lot of medication
mm-hmm.
and just and you're depressed about it. You could be the healthiest person and eat right and you have a great job, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you're miserable.
Absolutely.
Okay? Because I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
People, the mind, body, and spirit work together. So what Ms. Whitley has for her program, God doesn't have for my program. And that's why I'm always, I don't care if Jesus wanted to come down right now, return to earth, and he wanted to be on the show, okay. Because you know what? You know, so y'all know, if that happens, we won't be having any of the new shows, just so y'all know. It's a running joke. God knows I like to say that. Because he'd be like, I know he's up there tonight. I'm done with her at this moment. But just so people know, you should read in the Bible. If that ever happens, and when it will, when God comes down, we will all know. It just won't be, he's on Sabrina's show. So just so y'all know, we'll all be, it'll be a big radio announcement. Y'all will be, we will all be taking the knee. That will be the time we will all be taking the knee. Just so y'all know, you will not be interrupting my Sunday football because you're taking a knee. Which I don't have a problem with. I just think people need to put it. I'm sorry. Am I just making you cough though? Sorry.
You are
okay.
A mess. Yes.
I know. Okay. Before we go, let me explain. I am not against anybody taking a knee for their belief. I just think that you should protest on any other day except the day that this crazy fool lady wants to watch her football. Because that's all I'm saying. I don't care if you protest, but you can waste other days in the week to seriously tell people. I don't know why y'all choose 2 days. Because it's just interfering with me getting my chicken wings on and everything else. Because, you know, I got to listen to the media talk about it. So I'm not opposed to people. I'm sorry. I'll let it go.
Anyway. Go ahead. Stick your mind. Go ahead. Get it out.
I have to just say that because I'm not. You know what? And I get that they're seriously on a serious note that they're trying to bring light to the policemen who are killing African Americans, and I've taken that very seriously.
But
I wanted to also point out that, you know, when I did an interview with the new Black Panthers, they didn't want to talk about 50% of the African Americans are killed by their own, which is a bigger number the officers killing black people. So sometimes I think the focus with the media is, like you said, the media puts more things out there than they should be putting out and focusing on. So with that being said, you know what? You have been an awesome guest, Ms. Whitley, and I thank you so much for coming on. You guys have been listening with Rolling with the Diva. Yes, I got into my comedy because I have no common sense at times, and I just want people to know, speaking of gifts, Ms. Whitley said she is a prayer warrior. Me, I'm an encourager, and I think I'm hella funny all the time. So,
yes.
I make people laugh. Just what I do.
Yes, me too.
I don't know why. I just think it's funny to make people laugh, because at the end of the day, if you're laughing, then your endorphins or your brain are going to make you feel better, okay? Why would you want to listen to somebody who's like, okay, you know what? Your life is just sad. Too bad for you. I'm sorry.
I love to laugh. I'm an optimist, right? And so I do not like being around bad vibes, depression. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always trying to find a rainbow in a storm. Like, where is it at? I need to laugh. I need to smile. Yeah, I don't like all that negative energy. It's important to laugh.
And I think, you know, with you saying that, I was wondering why God, you know, I had to end up staying in the rehab for my hip for so long, because a lot of people know I had a hip replacement, and from the hospital they sent me to a rehab facility. And one of the things I saw today was another reason God put me here was, not only have I been encouraging all the patients through their own rehab, that I finally realized that I'm never to ever to step out of the social service field. That's my major. That's where God has me, in the medical field. It's something God wants me to stay in. And being here has really solidified that. How do you find all that in being in a rehab? Believe me, people, when you spend almost 40 days alone in a rehab and you don't know nobody, you got no time to think. You really do. And so I'm not suggesting you guys all go to a rehab to get, to get yourself together. But if sometimes you guys need to take a vacation by yourself and listen to God, because I'm going to tell you, being in here has really solidified my question of, God, why am I getting a PhD? What am I going to do with this? And how am I going to help people? And being in here, God has. So He does answer your prayers. He does, even if I'm not here. You know, and also one of the greatest things I've learned is it's okay to ask for help.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Yes.
I mean,
people are so prideful now. Go ahead.
I had to put my pride aside, because I'm like, one day I got to go to the bathroom really bad. And I was like, either I press the button or I'm going to have to go to the bathroom on myself. I pressed the button.
Right.
I wanted to do it by myself, but it wasn't at that time that I could. I was like, okay, I'm pressing the button. And you know what? Pressing that button, I just realized, God, I'm not a prideful person, but sometimes I don't want to ask for help because I don't want to impose.
Right.
And one of the things I've learned, we're not imposing on people. We're here for each other, as it says in the book of Hebrews. So when we're asking another person being to help us, we're fellowshipping. What do you think?
There you go. That, you hit it right on the nose. Yes, we all need help. A lot of times people get stuck in pride, or even if they're not prideful by nature, some people are. Some people, like myself, I don't like asking people for stuff for the same exact reason you said, because we feel like that we're imposing. But guess what? We can't do everything by ourselves. We need help. So it's okay. It is okay to ask somebody or to tell someone, I need help. You know, can you help me with this? You know, we have to reach out to people. I mean, we're all here, right, to fellowship and to be here for one another. Absolutely. One of the greatest attributes is to be able to serve. You know what I'm saying? Who do you serve? People that need help. Just like
there
Jesus.
You go.
Right? He comes because He knows we need help. We can't live life by ourselves. We got to ask Him for help. I know I do. I have to ask Him for help.
And you know what?
I know I cannot live by myself.
Uh-huh. I know Jesus came to help, because, see, if I was getting ready to die on the cross, I'd be like, God, look, are you really sure? Because you know what? I'm looking way ahead, and that person, they're going to keep doing bad. And you know what, God? Jesus was really because I'm telling you right now, I would have been like, God, wait, hold up. Now I'm getting nailed here in the hands for what? Because of who? Oh, wait. Nope.
And even when I do this, you mean to tell me they still won't believe in me? Time out. Let's talk about it.
I'm like, God, then, so can I just strike them with lightning when I'm done with all of this process of raising again? So, you know, that was, so for people really need to take Jesus seriously. Let me tell you, if it was me, I'd be like, no, because that fool is going to keep going over there sinning and doing awful things. I'm going to strike them with lightning. So not unless you give me the lightning bolt. See, that's, and they don't, and they have free will not to accept me.
I mean, Jesus is like, man, he is the King of Kings for real. We wouldn't do that. I mean, how many people can actually say they would go through that process? We have issues with one individual for the rest of our life. I mean, we don't even want to let go of stuff that happened 10 years ago, let alone, you know, die on the cross for people that's going to backstab us and call us a liar and spit on us. And
So you know what? People, at the end of the day, Ms. Shay and I love you, and we thank you guys for listening to us. You guys tune into her show. And just remember, you are more than enough. You're loved. You're wanted. And remember, if you are needing help, 211 in your state has lots of resources for many different things going on. You guys have a blessed day. Tune in tomorrow to Rolling with the Diva. We're going to have a show about what is your passion, and that has to do with what do you want to do with your life. And I don't care if you're 64 years old or you're 18 years old. Everybody has something that they want to do as far as a job. If you're not in a job you love, then you're going to be miserable. Maybe you're in a relationship and you're not married to this person, but you want to just be married. Stop it. Tomorrow we're going to talk about your passion of life and how to help you achieve that. Because if you're just marrying somebody, or you're in a job just to be in a job, or you're not where you want to be in life, then you need to listen to this show, because this is based off of one of my great friends, Volante Grant, and her book, Passion, On Fire for Passion. I really love her book. She motivated me years ago. She was actually the one person who got me into radio. So I really I love her for that. But you guys have a great, great night. It is time for me, because they're letting us out tomorrow. Wait, check this out. We get to go on an outing. Our doctor approved for us to go off the facility, so I'm going to get my clothes out and get ready, because it'll be the first time I have been out in the community for over 47 days. So I am very, very excited.
Awesome. I'm excited
so I know
for
people
you.
People are like, I know they're like, oh, Lord Jesus, that lady. But I just want to thank you guys. Love you guys. Have a great night. Ms. Whitley, thank you so much for coming to the show. We appreciate you. And you keep, and anytime you have an event going on, or you're somewhere you're speaking, send us a flyer and we will post it out for you.
Absolutely. Same here. Support.
All right.
Thank
you guys.
You so
have
much.
A great night. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Sheets of rain falling down, people moving all around. Some never think how great you are, some never feel with a clean heart. With all that you do and all that you've done, the fact that you gave your only son, you think they'd all cry, glory.